basically, I had a few battle cries. I shouted things at people, especially when they get the wind up their bums. You know, I'm a gal that can use power tools. I'm so big. I'm so tall. I'm so powerful. I'm so pretty. Look at me. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to my podcast, Esme's Country Life. This week, I've got quite a bit to update you on. I've actually been a little bit poorly, so a little disclaimer before we start. Hopefully, I don't sound too ill. I've finally got to the stage where I'm feeling a bit better now. But yeah, I haven't been too well. But anyway, before we start, I just want to say a huge thank you to the sponsor of the podcast, RedPost. RedPost is an equestrian and country store based in the UK, but they also ship all over the world. Also, I've been allowed to give you guys a little bit of a hint that I might be returning to RedPost in the summer for a meet and greet. That's all I'm going to say for now. I am looking forward to it, hopefully, because whenever I do meet and greets there, they basically, their cafe is so good. They give me unlimited milkshakes and unlimited cake. So it's going to be a good day. But yeah, hopefully when I can tell you a little bit more about it, see you there. But anyway, be sure to head to redpostequestrian.co.uk if you want to find out more information about the tack shop. But anyway, let's begin. Thought we'd talk about my illness first. I feel like that's probably not the nicest thing to talk about. I don't know if any other like families or people have like weird names for things, but when somebody in my family is ill, especially if it's more like a cold illness, we call it a snot disease, because I just feel like you're just plagued or diseased with this snot. And that's what basically I have been basically the last week. So Friday was the first day where I was like, okay, I am not well. I am not good. Because I woke up in the morning, and you know when you just wake up and you're like, oh, I can feel it, like my throat, it hurts. I'm snotty, like your brain just feels like mush. That was me on Friday morning. So I had the day off on Friday, which feels weird because normally if I have a day off, like away from like working, or if I give the horses a day off or something like that, normally I'm doing something else. So it felt really odd for me to just have a day on my own in the cottage, laying in bed, watching telly, reading my book, you know, just chilling. It felt wrong. It felt weird. If you know me, I'm one of those people that I'm always going, I'm always doing something. So maybe it was my body telling me, Esme, you need to calm down. You need to have a rest. You need to chill out. I'm going to force you to stay at home and just chill. So anyway, I wasn't even ill that long ago. As I said before, I was ill kind of like in that weird period between Christmas and New Year's. So I just feel like a lot's going around at the moment, illness wise. But anyway, I'm back. I don't sound too bunged up now, so it's all good. But even with my illness, I've done quite a lot of different fun things. I actually went and did some Laser Quest with some friends the other day after work, which probably sounds a little bit random, but we got a big group of us together. It was actually really fun. I feel like I haven't done like a weird, like wacky kind of activity like that in a little while, because normally I feel like that's something that you would do like all the time, like maybe like as a teenager at like friends' birthday parties and things like that. I remember going to that exact same place with a lot of my friends from Pony Club. We did like a Pony Club activity. Did that there. But when I tell you, I am a competitive person, I might have taken it a little bit too far at a few stages. Like before, when you're like walking and you have like your little laser gun on you and everything, like I was so excited, my heart was racing. I felt like I was walking into a battlefield. I was like, okay, let's go. I was thinking about the strategy, if I was gonna go like up high, so I'd have, you know, the advantage of being up high, but then everyone was up high, so I thought maybe I'll go down low for a little bit because there were less people and I could like sneak round. I was quite good at like hiding. In the end, I didn't actually do that well because they had like little scoreboards in. To be fair, some of the like things were they were a little bit dodgy, they were a bit sketchy. There was this one guy and he would walk around and basically he just couldn't be got with the laser tag because his thing wasn't working, so he could get everyone else but nobody could get him. And he even didn't end up doing that well because I was so excited because I was hiding in this little crouch spot. I saw him just standing there and he was just walking around because he knew that nobody could get him. I managed to realize that there was like one bit on his suit jacket thingy that he was wearing where it would work if you shot him. So I just kept, you know, going for him. It was great. I had a great time. There was also one point when me and one of the other guys we kind of like ran into each other, which I know at Laser Tag, the like person that like organized it and everything was like, no running, you'll run into each other. And yeah, to be fair, I would say it was more him than me, because he did run into other people. But honestly, it felt like being in a cartoon. We basically just bashed into each other, and I felt like I went flying back on my feet, and then I just got up and kept going. To be fair, it was a proper workout, like when you're running around, you know, it gets your blood pumping, you know, you're a little bit anxious as well because you don't want someone to get you. But no, it was good fun. Also, another thing that my boyfriend couldn't make it, unfortunately, he was working that evening, so he got told multiple stories by multiple of our friends about how excited / competitive I was at the laser tag. There might have been a few, you know, I don't know how to describe it. Basically, I had a few battle cries. I shouted things at people and stuff like that, like, I'm gonna get you. I don't know, it was funny. The worst was probably, which I'm a little bit ashamed of myself, was when one of my friends, it was my teammate, I hid behind, and, oh, actually, no, I think it was someone on a different team. I hid behind them, and I grabbed them, and I almost, like, I didn't take them as hostage, but I was hiding behind them, so they were getting shot and not me. And I was like, yeah. Anyway, it was a good time. We had some great fun doing some laser tag. I felt like a kid again. I feel like it's fun doing little activities like that. Also, I can't believe I haven't talked about this yet. I hate being that like YouTuber, podcaster person. Don't even know what to call myself nowadays. Because back in when I first started this, I called myself a YouTuber, which I still am. I still make YouTube videos. But I do lots of other things now. And I don't really know if I like the term influencer. It makes me feel a bit funny. It feels like with influencer, it's all like, all you do is just try and sell things to people, when I'd say I'm more of a content creator. Like, my main job is creating fun, well, hopefully fun things for you guys to watch and listen to. But anyway, have to be that person, because today that I'm filming this podcast episode, my new book is out. So if you didn't know, I have a series of children's books called The Starlight Stables Gang. I think I'm about to be thrown the book right now. What? So if you are an audio listener, I'm going to describe the book to you and the cover if you haven't seen it on my socials. Sorry, a little bit of a cough there. But it is called Ellie and the Pony Cat Mystery. It's got a picture of Ellie riding a little pony on the front, which is a skewboard. There's a little bit of a mystery. You can tell by the title. It's green. I don't want to give too many spoilers, but it's probably my favourite out of all of them. Ellie's my favourite character, and it dives into a lot of her, like, starting secondary school and the challenges she has to face with that, and then the whole Starlight Stables gang. It's quite fun because they all go to pony camp together, so it's kind of like a chance for them to just, like, be together themselves or away from the adults. There's also a little bit of drama, of course, and other things that happen, so be sure to read it if you want to check it out. Also, I feel like this probably isn't like a very professional thing for me to talk about, but I feel like here on the podcast, we talk about funny things. We talk about basically me embarrassing myself, but I thought this would be funny because I feel like some of you guys out there will find it funny. I think Amazon, basically, because I was obviously looking at it all, like, being up on websites where you can buy it and being like, wow, I feel like a real author. But anyway, I was looking at that, and for some reason on Amazon, it says, like, you know, it's in a number one category, so whoop whoop, excited about that. So technically, I'm a number one bestseller because it says number one bestseller next to it. But I was also looking at the other, like, that was in, like, children's or something. And then I was looking at the other categories that it's, like, in or trending in. And one of them was pregnancy. Now, can I just say, my book is for, it's, I think, the, like, age range that I think it's based for is around, like, 8 to 13 year olds, or 9 to 13 year olds. So anyway, yeah, it's nothing in it. It's about pregnancy. There's no thing, there's even a baby in it. Like, I don't know where that's from. So no one is pregnant in the book. Maybe I should have put some more pregnant representation in there, but no, there isn't. So that was very random. Me and my co-author Joe, who we like talk to each other daily on WhatsApp and emails and that kind of thing, and she showed it to me. I was like, how has that happened? We were both so confused. So yeah, just a little shout out to my co-author Joe, who has helped me so much with the book. She's definitely held my hand, because the Starlight Stables Gang is kind of like my first book series, and she's been amazing at coming up with ideas. And she also has a kid like a similar age to the kids in the book and that kind of thing. So it's nice having like a parent's perspective when writing the book. But anyway, that's been really fun. I've really enjoyed the journey so far with the books and things. But we're talking about maybe a book four. It's not confirmed yet. I'm trying to persuade. We'll see. So if you guys really like book three, then maybe there'll be a book four, because I'd love to write a story about the fourth Starlight Stable gang member, Daniel. But anyway, that's my spiel about the books. Sorry, I'll move on so you can hear about more embarrassing stuff in my life. But I just thought I'd talk about it because I'm proud of it. And also, I just thought that little anecdote was quite funny. Something else that I've been up to this week. Again, I feel like this was before I was poorly. I took Joey for a hack. And I've been kind of like keeping updated on Joey's journey of bringing him back into work after him injuring himself again out in the field. But anyway, I told you the story a few podcast episodes back about our first hack back around the village, and we came across the muck spreader. That was his first interaction with the muck spreader. It was quite scary, but he got over it. So I think I've come to the conclusion of what I think is the worst thing to come across when hacking a horse. Now you might be thinking, oh, is it a tractor? Is it a plastic bag? Is it a motorbike? Is it a child? No. The worst thing that you can find across a hack is another horse going in the same direction as you, but a little bit further ahead. Because that happened to me. I feel like, Joey, we've been on so many hacks. Since then, we've been on hacks, seen other people. They've been going a different direction to us. Obviously, we ride past, go our separate ways. Joey, obviously, when he sees the other horse, he grows a hand taller. He goes into what I call stallion mode, even though he is a gelding, but he's trying his best. He kind of like, you know, just like puffs his tummy out. You know, he likes to, or just his chest out, and just likes to kind of make him seem like he's a little bit bigger. There's a lady or a man there. He likes to try and impress them, being like, look, I'm so big. I'm so tall. I'm so powerful. I'm so pretty. Look at me. And then as soon as they've gone past, he's like, ah, all right, back to like riding on the buckle, nice and chill, just, you know, chilling about on my hack. But yes, I thought, you know what, today's the day. We've been going really well. He's been really good. I gave him a really hard flat work session the day before, so he'll be a little bit more tired. I thought today will be the day that I take him in an open field for the first time since October. So get on him, you know, go for a hack. Seems so happy, so chilled. Perfect, go all the way across the fields. It was too muddy to canter, so he didn't have to worry about doing that. Like, he, like, as much as Joey loves a good canter and a gallop, when the ground isn't great, he knows, okay, we can only like walk or trot here. Like, he's good. Got to the end of the field, went off the bridle path, so we're going back onto like a little road track thing to ride back to the house, and or my parents' house or the yard. And yeah, we see a horse trotting by up ahead away from us, and oh my goodness, Joey was not happy when I said, no, Joey, we cannot gallop right up behind their bum and say hello and overtake them. So when I was like, no, Joey, we've got to walk, or actually I was like, you know what, he's gonna have so much energy, I'm just gonna trot him, but do like a controlled slow trot. Oh, my little watch pinging off then, sorry about that, I promise I'm professional. But anyway, back to our hack. So yeah, Joey had a little bit of a meltdown. Now, I know that, like, I feel like horses sometimes are just like toddlers. He was just like, Mum, I want to run. And I was like, no, you can't run, because number one, cantering and galloping on the road is probably illegal and definitely not safe and definitely not good for your legs. You've only just come back from being ridden again. And it's like, goodness grief. So Joey had a meltdown. And if you want to know what a Joey meltdown involves, it involves him squealing. It involves him basically doing passage, like trotting on the spot almost, or doing lots of big leg movements, sometimes going a little bit sideways, sometimes backing up into the ditch. And I'm like, Joseph, do not go into the ditch. Goodness grief, child, what are you doing? And then sometimes his little back legs will go up, or he'll do like a little hop. He'll be like, the floor is lava, leap up in the air. So he did a little bit of that for about not even two minutes, I'd say probably like 30 seconds. And then he was like, oh, okay, I'll listen to you, Mum. They've gone around the corner now. I can't see them anymore. They don't exist. Ah, okay. So I felt like I felt like I dealt with it well. I just got him into trot and I was like, let's have a little trot. Get your energy out. Get this pent up stuff out. We're just moving forward. No, we're not going backwards into the ditch. But yeah. So that was a little bit scary. Please let me know in the comments if you're listening. Oh my gosh. Goodness grief. My Apple Watch is really peeving me off. Okay, Apple Watch, you need to go away. Whenever I say peeving, it makes me think of Peeves, the ghost in Harry Potter, for any Harry Potter fans. I've had this Apple Watch for over a year now, and there are just some things that I just don't know how to do. Any Apple Watch users will get me when I say that they've currently updated. There we go, I'll put it on silent. They've updated everything. So I tried to do my watch the other day, and it freaked me out. Everything had changed. I felt like a horse, you know. Horses are not used to change. And when, like, something, I feel like, felt betrayed. I just couldn't find anything. I felt like a grandma. I was like, how do I figure this out? It's all different. But anyway, sorry, that's on silent now. So if you heard any pings, apologies. But no, I'm just, sorry. This podcast, is, as always, has been a little bit all over the place, but I feel like it's been extra all over the place because I've been poorly. So my brain ain't really working too well. But anyway, so yeah. Joey found a friend and I was not very happy about it. Recently, I feel like something that I've really enjoyed is having a big clear out. And I feel like, okay, maybe it's a little bit early for spring cleaning because it's 1st February today, so, or the day that I'm recording this podcast. So it's still winter. I'd say January, February, March is the worst time of year. I've said this before, but I call it the JFMs because I feel like that's just when horses, mud, winter, well, in the UK anyway, you guys in the southern hemisphere and in like Australia and New Zealand, you guys are living up. You guys are having summer right now, which I'm jealous of. But yeah, where we are, it's very muddy, not so good, just a bit dark, bit dingy, bit sad. But anyway, and the horses are spicy, they're excited, so that's sometimes a little bit tricky, especially when they get the wind up their bums. But anyway, I thought, I feel a bit like spring. I have a spring clear out, you know. New year, new me, which even though we're in February now, I still feel like I've got that mentality. So I thought, you know what, start the year off with a bit of a clear out. So actually, you probably won't see this because if you are watching rather than listening, but I've had a bit of a clear out of the office. I had loads of kind of like just boxes of things, basically lots of cardboard boxes that I needed to, you know, go and recycle, but they were just chilling in the office, so that made it a little bit claustrophobic in here. And then I've had a good old clear out of my wardrobe. I had a clear out of all also my dressing table that I have in here to do like my makeup before filming and that kind of stuff. I haven't cleared that out since the office used to be my bedroom, so before I got the cottage. So I had a huge clear out in that. There was quite a lot of expired stuff that needed throwing away, unfortunately. There was I always felt like having a clear out that like that is quite fun because you kind of go down memory lane. So I found like some hand warmers that I think I got when I was in like year 8 at school, that I just kept for some reason. I think there are two different types of people in this world. There are the people who, when they get like a new phone or a new toaster or I don't know, something random like a new hairdryer, they keep the box and they put it in the loft and they keep it forever just in case like it breaks or like the warranty expires. I don't know, something like that. That is my family. And then I came across my boyfriend's family who, as soon as they get something new, they're like, yep, put it in the recycling, like the, you know, packaging. And oh, that, like when I got like new bits for my house, like I've got like a sand mixer, which will hopefully last me for years because my grandma's got one and she's like had it for donkeys and donkeys of years now. So I was like, I'm going to invest into a good one. Hopefully it'll last me forever. And my boyfriend was like, oh, do we put this in the recycling? And I was like, oh, no, what if it breaks all the warranty? I don't know, like it freaked me out. Like that, it was just, I just thought everyone kept their boxes. So let me know if you are a box keeper or a box recycler, because that was something that I didn't know people did. I thought everyone kept boxes of certain things. I guess it depends on the thing. Because if it's, I don't know, like some makeup brushes or something that came in a box, I probably wouldn't keep that. But if it was something electronic that might break or some sort of machinery, I feel like I would keep the box just in case. I don't know. I guess if you had something and you wanted to try out and then maybe sell it if it didn't work or return it. I don't know. But there we go. That was something I found out recently, which I feel like blew my mind a little bit. But now I've had a good old time. I've done some clearing out in the cottage. Thought I'd give you a bit of a cottage update because I need to film another cottage renovation series video, but I just haven't really got time, like got round to it. Like recently, I'm in like planning the whole year. So that's really exciting. Also, Florida, I have finally booked the tickets for the plane journey to go to Florida now. So it's happening, everybody. End of March. Really looking forward to that. So hopefully they'll, for my American followers, viewers, listeners, I will hopefully be doing a meet and greet out there at some stage. So keep your eyes and ears. You don't say keep your ears peeled. That doesn't sound right. But keep your eyes peeled. Keep your ears out there listening if you want to find out more information about that. But so that's quite exciting. Also, I feel like we had a double win because when we were booking tickets, we realised that if we went a day earlier, so like if we had an extra day out there, we would save a load of money on plane tickets because it's near kind of Easter time. So we were like, goodness grief, we need to book these tickets soon before everything gets booked up, before it gets way too expensive. But it does mean that we've saved money and we get an extra day. So do you know what that extra day is going to be involves? It's going to be me going to Disneyland. So I'm excited for that. I've been to Disneyland twice, but they've both been the Paris one. And I feel like the American one is probably going to be very different. I feel like out there, you guys do things bigger and better at some things. But anyway, so I'm excited for that. Also, I think the thing that I'm most excited for is they have like the whole Star Wars kind of area. And me and my brother grew up watching Star Wars. My dad probably kind of grew up watching Star Wars as well because it's such an old film. But we would do, like, in my family, Friday night cinema night. So on a Friday night, you'd come home from school, we'd normally have something like pizza or fish and chips, and then we'd watch Star Wars or some sort of film. So I feel like I grew up watching a lot of quote-unquote, like, boy films, even though there aren't boy films or girl films, you know what I mean. But because basically my mum would come home from work on a Friday and she'd fall asleep, so it'd normally be my dad and my brother picking what films we'd watch. So I feel like all the classic kind of like rom-com films I have just never seen, but could I recite you all the episodes of Top Gear and all the episodes of Star Wars and things? Yes, I can. So there we go. But yeah, so I'm a big Star Wars fan. Me and my boyfriend have recently been rewatching all of the like newer films as well that has like Rey and that lot in. So that's been good fun. So looking forward to that. I feel like I'm definitely going to get my nerd or my geek on with that. But it does look expensive. Like I was looking, there are some things that you can do out there, like building your own lightsaber, building your own droid, which sounds really fun. But I feel like the Disney prices, it's gonna rack up. I've been watching, you know, all the things on like all the food that they have there as well, like which are the best places to go. I've been like doing my research. It's getting me excited. Also, if we have an extra, I might go to Universal as well, because I've been to Florida before, but I haven't, surprisingly, not been to Disney in Florida and not been to Universal. I have been to like Busch Gardens and some of the other like parks and things, and like what is it, Wet and Wild, is that the water slide one? Yeah, been there. So yeah, very lucky. That was a long time ago. That was back in 2013, so it's been a while. But yeah, very much looking forward to that. I was gonna say something. I mean, this is a podcast, I should be saying things, but you know when you just have a mental block, my brain isn't quite back to how it was when I was poorly. Also, I haven't really told you like what the Florida trip's for. So I'm planning on going out there, going to Ocala, going to Wellington, doing all the big horsey American things out there. I really want to try doing equitation or the hunter classes. I'm definitely not the best person to explain what this is, but if you're British and you have no idea what I've just said, then this is my British version of someone who's not very educated on those things trying to explain what they are. So from my very small knowledge, I'd say the hunters is basically like show jumping, but you do it slow and it's not against the clock, and it's about how pretty you look and how good you look and how good your horse looks. So it's kind of like showing, I guess. But and then also that's yeah, there we go. That's it. That's all I can explain really. It's definitely there's a lot more to it, which I will find out when I go out there and try it. And then equitation I'd say is like the same thing, but I think there's no jumps. Or maybe it's the same, you can get equitation hunter classes. It's all a little bit different. So I'm looking forward to that and trying that, especially as I feel like I ride very British and I feel like there's like a very American way of riding. So I feel like they're either gonna be like, girl, you are not doing it how you should for these hunter classes. Why are you riding like such a show jumper? I'm like, that's just how I've been taught. But anyway, that'll be fun. It'll be exciting. I'm really excited to try that out. So and then obviously all the big shows that I'm going to out there. And yeah, doing some other Florida things, some exploring, other bits and bobs. So yeah, also, sorry, before I got onto Florida, I was talking about having a big clear out, the cottage. Was that, yeah, I was talking about that. Anyway, I thought I would give you a little update on what I've been doing with that. Oh yeah, because I told you about how I was getting into planning, that kind of thing. That's why I've been busy. Anyway, we're booked and ready for Florida. But no, the cottage, something that I've been umming and ahhing about recently is that I have the smallest room in the cottage. Is currently a mess zone. It's got my Christmas decorations in there that really need to go in the loft. I've got like a whole massive cardboard box full of books. So at the moment, I'm trying to figure out what I should. Oh, I had a little hiccup then. Sorry. I'm trying to figure out what I should do with my books. If I should buy a bookcase, because it's quite a small room, it has eaves, so the roof basically slants, so basically the wall is the roof, so it makes it seem a lot of a smaller space than it is. So I'm thinking maybe underneath the eaves, build. I am probably going to get some help when it comes to building this, because even though, to be fair, I've done a lot of DIY on the cottage, doing it myself, you know, I'm a gal that can use power tools, there are some things where I'm just like, you know what, that sounds like it needs to be pretty precise, especially as the cottage is quite old and the walls are a little bit wonky and the floor is a little bit wonky. So even if I did something perfectly straight, it would probably still look wonky because that's just how it is. So I'm thinking maybe some built-in bookshelves, because of the size of the roof and things. I have been basically the day that I was ill, I was in bed scouring the internet to try to find some bookshelves or bookcases that are low enough to fit under the eaves, and I could only find like one or two. And when I tell you, they looked like they were made not very well. They were build it yourself. I was looking at the reviews, people were saying there weren't enough screws, that there was cracks in it, that it like wasn't even like proper wood and stuff like that. And I was like, ooh, this is not sounding good. I do not want to. It would end up me crying, trying to do flat pack furniture and then having to ring my dad or my boyfriend to help me. So actually, to be fair, in my dressing room, I managed to build a little shoe rack that was wooden, did all the screws and everything up myself. So I was quite proud of that. But I haven't done much DIY in my life. I feel like it's one of those things, if I did it all the time, I feel like I'd get really good at it. You know, there's nothing stopping me, I could do it, but I'm a busy gal. I've got the channels and the horses to look after full time. I don't know if I have the time to learn how to use power tools exactly, but here we are. But anyway, so I've been thinking about that, what I'm going to do with that. So that will hopefully be the next sort of episode in the cottage renovation series, me doing that room up, because I really want to make it like an office and have like a proper desk and things so I can do some working at home, that kind of bits and bobs. So that'll be good fun. But yeah, that I feel like having a good old clear out, it just makes me feel happy. Like I walk into somewhere and everything's all tidy. Do you know what's been a real game changer? Getting those little plastic tubs, like they're small, you know, that you'd put them in a drawer and they would organise your drawer so things don't roll around. That has been a real game changer, especially in my bathroom with all of my like skincare products and all that kind of stuff. Especially as you can put like these little, like the ones that mine came with, they have these like little stickers that you put on the bottom so things don't roll around. So that has been a game changer as well. I thought we would talk a little bit about Casper and I's 10-year anniversary. Time has flown by so quickly because I've had him since I was 12 and I'm now 22, and I don't know, time is a weird thing. I've said this before, when you get older, I feel like it goes so much quicker, But anyway, I thought I'd talk a little bit about that because I was going through some old photos. You probably would have seen that I've done like a full YouTube video on it talking about our journey, which, can't lie, makes me a little bit emotional. Made my dad cry when he watched that. So anyway, he looks really embarrassed now. But also I did like a little video that, a little short that I put on all of my other socials, which was very sweet, all about like teenagehood horses and how important they are to you. And it doesn't have to be, it could be like a riding school horse. It doesn't have to be your own horse. It's just a horse that's there for you, you know? But anyway, that was very sweet. I'm not going to get too, you know, cheesy, corny, mushy-gushy, whatever you want to say about it, because I do love my boy. I love him a lot. You guys know that. But I actually found these old photos from Pony Club Camp the other day when I was going through everything, going back through the archives. And oh my goodness, I forgot how brave I used to be with cross country. Obviously, nowadays, I'd say I'm more of a show jumper than an inventor, but at Pony Club, you kind of just did everything, which I feel like was really good. It's so fun doing a little bit of everything. But yeah, so I was looking at these photos. I was like, oh my goodness, we were jumping some like B100 novice fences. And so that was like a meter 10. And I was like, goodness grief. Goodness, I don't know. I think actually there were a few jumps that my instructor said, oh, they're only 80, they're only 90, you can go and do that, easy peasy, Casper's fine, you're great, sunny days. I did not see this fence until I was at it. And when you're going very, very fast in canter towards a fence, you've just got to go all in. You've got to hold on tight, you got to pray, you got to just go for it. So I was like, I was going up to this jump and the closer I got, the bigger I realised it was. But when you're going pretty fast, you can't just, you know, you can't pull out, you can't go around. I was like, okay, Casper, I believe in you. Literally, I believe I can fly. So yeah, we just flew over them. I look back at my poor mum. My mum would always make sure that at camp, whenever we had cross country, she would always go on those days to help out and do the lunches and things and watch me do cross country because it would petrify her. My mum's not horsey, so I guess watching your non-horsey child, if you're non-horsey, watching a horsey child doing something horsey could be a little bit scary. But anyway, yeah, she would always be there, like if she was filming. To be fair, my dad does like all the filming now, but if she was doing the filming, you could always tell because her hands would be shaking a little bit as I'd be coming up to these fences. And I remember this one drop fence where I was like, oh yeah, I can do that. Casper's great with drops, he can do it all the time. When I got to it, it was quite a bit steeper than I realised, and I did do it in the end. I was very proud of him, but oh my goodness, even my camp instructor was like, are you sure about that one? Because my friend did. I was like, oh yeah, we'll be fine, we'll do it as well. But to be fair, Casper is like 15 hands. My friend was like on a 17 hand horse, so it was a bit more of a drop for him. I used to be so brave. Don't know what happened there. I think it's just as you get older, you get a little bit less brave. But anyway, so I was looking at some of the photos and things of basically Casper and I back in our prime, and I was like, oh my goodness, that was one fence, and it doesn't even look that big because the grass around it was quite tall, but it was so wide. Oh my gosh, I feel like, yeah, anyway, so that was really good fun. I enjoyed kind of going down memory lane with that and making a little 10-year anniversary video, because I'm pretty sure, I think I've made like a 10-year one when it was my 10-year anniversary with Mickey as well. So think about what my 10-year anniversary video would be like with Joey. Goodness, that's going to be a story and a half. I'll be like, yep, this was when he was good, and this was when he was injured, and this is when he was good again, and this is when he was injured again. But no, we're getting there. I had a really good lesson actually with Joey the other day. We're doing lots of pole work. Shouldn't be too long now until we can maybe think about hopping over some cross poles, so looking forward to that. He's doing very, very well. But anyway, I think on that note, we'll finish it off there. Also, in March, it will be my 4-year anniversary with Joey, so that's gone by real quick. And then in August, it'll be my 3-year anniversary with Duke. So time really, that's scary. Time's really flown by. But anyway, on that note, I'll say thank you very much for listening to today's episode of Esme's Country Life. Thank you so much to the sponsor of the podcast, Red Post, obviously for sponsoring it, if you want to check them out. But anyway, hopefully this podcast hasn't been too rambly or hasn't been too awful or sounded too bad with me being poorly, but I wanted to do an episode, even if it was going to be a little bit all over the place. But I tell you what, I feel like sometimes that makes things a little bit more interesting, you know. Anyway, thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you all next time. Bye.